You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right, welcome back to the Wake Up Tucson show. Christopher Simone and you. Ray will just do it right now, so... Hey, we got a busy show. Things have been kind of rearranged and redone and all that good stuff. So we got the sports intern at the bottom of the hour. We have 7:07. We have economist Steve Moore calling in from D.C. 7:30, Ed Ackerley is going to be here about the Tubo event, about fighting against the fight for 15. GOP chairwoman and Continental School Board member Shelley Keis will be here in the third hour. And because he's going to a coffee roasting seminar in Maryland, David Schweikert had to call up an hour earlier. So, David, good morning.
Am I calling an hour earlier?
You are? It's all a blur to you.
It's all a blur. No, we have Secretary Yellen in Ways and Means in an hour. So the... No, it's not that big a deal. That's what we do.
So my brother was on Monday, and he was talking about this interview on CNBC with this very smart financial guy named John Tudor Jones, which I love that name. He's like the backup basis for Herman's Hermits, that name. And he was looking at the Fed policy. Monetary policy, and he said if the Fed comes out and said, hey, everything's cool, man, everything's rocking, he goes move into gold, Bitcoin, real estate, get ready for the a dump here. Where are we at here now financially? Where are we at?
All right, I'll give you some impressions, but none of us actually, have that good a crystal ball. If I did, I wouldn't be doing this job.
Yes, you would. You're a masochist.
Yeah, that too. But if you really take a step backwards, all the hoopla over the Federal Reserve's, minutes and those things yesterday, if you take a step backwards, they didn't really say anything. Okay, yeah, so if things go sideways, they'll, adjust to it. That's basically all they said.
Right.
There is a sense out there in much of the investor community that a lot of the stock market largesse is solely based on the Federal Reserve's liquidity.
Sure.
There's no question the economy is getting much stronger. What you're fearful of is with the crazy levels of left-wing spending and the borrowing scales, are we going to overshoot everything? Are you in sort of that moment of, the crazy spending from the late 60s blew up the 70s? Are we in a version of that right now?
Are we? Are we at least appearing to be that way?
We may be able to stop a bunch of it. Now, there's other problems that we didn't have, 50 years ago or 40 years ago. Our demographics are much tougher. It's not like we have a huge wave of those moving into the economy to work. We actually have a huge wave of people moving into retirement. So does that slow the economy down? Does that, take away your ability to have productivity? So, you have to really think about the demographics of the country, and that's often hard to talk about.
So when I hooked onto the Wi-Fi at the station today, it comes up on MSN, and they have an AP story about U.S. jobless claims tick up to 412,000 from pandemic low. So where are we at in relation to this whole... employment. Yeah. We know everyone's desperate for employees. Where are we at in that situation?
That was a weird number today, where things were pretty much just flat. You expected to see progress, and instead it was just sort of flat. And I don't have my head around completely how to interpret that. If I saw that a couple more times, I would actually worry that are we seeing a situation where so many individuals have their stimulus money still sitting in the bank that, you know, they're fine. They're just not about to jump into the economy and get things going again.
I know there's lots of dynamics on why it won't happen. What should happen from the federal side to try to alleviate this situation?
First, stop the Democrats from trying to buy their next election with your tax money. That's simple. Start talking about tax and regulatory policy that sets off another wave of productivity growth, because that's actually what would raise working people's wages. You don't say, you can run around saying, we want to change the minimum wage. We want to hand people checks. We want to do those things. There's no history of that actually working. It might work for a year or two, and then, boom, you hit a wall. If you can do things where, let's fix the tax code, let's do this regulatory code, those things that make it so businesses and organizations want to spend money buying that new piece of equipment to get more productive, that actually sets off a really healthy cycle, because you can pay people more, the economy grows because you're doing it better. And for some reason, that concept seems to be an anathema to the left.
So I see this story on the Hill. Tensions grow between liberals and centrists on infrastructure, right? Who's a centrist anymore that actually comes out as popular, other than maybe Joe Manchin? Out of the 535, who is actually a public centrist, especially on the D side?
Yeah, look, in the House of Representatives, the Democrats went to war with anyone that was what you would think of as a more moderate Democrat. They've wiped out their own. I think I saw something the other day that there's only a single Democrat who will self-identify as being pro-life in the entire House of Representatives. They've abandoned, if you actually really look, if you're blue-collar, you know, hardworking, sort of that middle American, you pretty much have been abandoned by the Democrat Party. They are now the party of the, educated elite who think they should run your life, and those who receive benefits on, the poor side. I mean, you actually look at their constituencies, they've abandoned working men and women. And that works fine for them, because they raise a lot of money on this side, and they get lots of voters on the other side.
Talk about, this is from the ways it means, you guys talk about the greatest theft in American tax dollar history, $400 billion.
Oh, it's just, and the frustration is, for a number of us, we've been going at this for over a year, that the way the enhanced unemployment was being done and pushed out the door was going to have all sorts of fraud. And that there were ways to attach, data samples to it to stop it. How many times over the last year, you and I have been on this radio show and talk about, my wife got unemployment claims in her own name for the company she runs.
Right.
And we would get shut down. And this is a pox on both the press and the Democrats, because, we took this to a number of reporters, and they were going, that's sort of interesting, but we don't want to talk about it. And then the Democrats saying, well, why are you trying to take away people's unemployment benefits? And this will be the largest theft in world history. And this is not a group of folks in a back room in South Tucson on a computer stealing money. These are international groups that wrote sophisticated bots to make unemployment claims from around the world, and we've been shoving money out.
Well, according to the tweet, it talks about, from the Ways and Means GOP, it's more money has been stolen than the entire economy of the state of Colorado and the entire combined budgets of the U.S. Army and U.S. Navy.
Yeah, but this is what you get when you put the left in charge.
One last question. I know you got to get going. It's a busy morning for you, and I appreciate you calling when you are. Talked about one thing I really want to talk about with you. Do you have time for one more segment? I don't know. Okay.
Yeah, no, we do. We can make it work.
I want to talk about water when we come back, because it's always forgotten out there, this unbelievable important thing. So we're going to talk to Congressman David Schweikert. Now, I asked you guys on Facebook, I need one song that describes the city of Tucson region. You gave me about 72 so far. And this one was suggested by a great guy named Chris up in Oral Valley. It's Pink Floyd. It's called Comfortably Numb. All right. Welcome back to the Wake Up Tucson show. This is played by the band at Ed's retirement party. I Want to Be Sedated, part of our Tucson region themed songs suggested by the listeners.
This is not trip hop.
No, this is not trip hop at all.
No, it's still a classic.
Absolutely. All right, two questions from some listeners. Lori wants to know, is Congress working on another stimulus other than the infrastructure?
The answer is no, but that's functionally what the stimulus, the Families Act, a lot of these others spending it. So it's not sending a check to your door. It's sending a whole bunch of checks to groups out there that happen to support Democrats, but it would still be pumping stunning amounts of money into spending.
Another listener wants to know, now that you've been doing it for six months, talk about working with this White House on anything. What is that dynamic between?
They don't communicate with Republicans. Even though, you know, you were enraged with some of the policies coming out of the Obama administration, the Obama folks had, they went out hired as moderate a Democrats as they could to go talk to Republicans. So, we would have once a week the representative from the Obama administration White House just stick her head into our office and say, now what are you working on? Is there anything you think we can do? It's bipartisan. We've seen no one from the Obama administration, out walking the halls trying to build relationships.
I love your Freudian slip there. You just said we haven't seen anyone from the Obama administration sticking
their head. Sorry. Did I mean Biden? I'm so sorry.
Now, remember, Barack said 2 weeks ago in an interview that he's so happy that his former team is getting all these things done with Joe.
Yeah, well, look, in many ways, if you look at the cabinet, he's absolutely right. It is the third term of the Obama administration.
Yep.
But the sort of infrastructure. Now, some of it is also the difference of with controlling the Senate, controlling the House, other things, there's this Democrat arrogance of we don't need you. Their fixation is how do they get around the 60-vote margin in the Senate.
Tell me about, I wanted to ask you, we always talk about the water situation. We have California sending a lot of their people to live in Arizona now. Where are we at in relation to the West? We have a drought situation as usual. Is it any different than any other year? What's the reality out there?
No. We're in drought, and it's a tough situation. It's a lot of pressure on southwestern agriculture. It's a lot of pressure on ranching, and other things in the Southwest. And, look, you look at the so-called infrastructure bill, it really doesn't do anything to help us build water infrastructure because water infrastructure is so controversial on the left, so they just skip it. And there are some fun, a little bit crazy ideas out there. They're longer term, but there's sort of things you look at of, hey, should you line a bunch of these canals in California so you stop losing huge amounts of water to seepage. And then you get people complain, well, then Salton Sea won't have as much water because that's mostly canal seepage.
Right.
Or a report, if you want to go to sort of, let's call it a little bit utopian sort of thought process, big report saying, hey, you know, for a lot of these canals, particularly in the California desert, put your solar panels over the top of them. Cut down evaporation, cools them a bit. You know, you don't use up other real estate, but it turns out that actually has. So there's lots of ideas, you know, the new technology in desalinization for the California coast so they don't have to have as big a pipe pulling out of the Colorado River. But those take vision and those take years, and those also take a lot of the environmental activists to think differently. And they're more Malthusians. They want to shut down usage instead of find other ways to produce.
I have a friend of the show, Max, used to be our intern. He worked for the city of Huntington Beach, and they've been working on a plan for a desal plant there for years. And that coastal commission out there, they just can't get it past those folks, it seems like.
Well, but there's also a big difference in there's some technologies that look like they're hitting that you could do it with dramatically less power. And if then, you know, and you get a couple of folks say, okay, the return brine, okay, fine, put the pipe out further, split it up. That's just a complete fraud. But it was always the power usage. And it looks like there's some new designs that will use dramatically less power. So it's time to start exploring that again.
So you have your meeting with Yellen today, and that's something that Ways and Means does on a regular basis. So you're not expecting anything too crazy from there. What's the rest of your day look like?
That will take up about half the day. Then we'll have floor votes. I'm going to try to finish my presentation that I got cut off last night on the floor.
What?
Louis Gohmert is going to give me a little bit of his floor time this afternoon. And so, you know, you're just running around trying to take care of those things. We have three or four pieces of legislation that are coming back from the lawyers. We got to check the drafting. So it's just a typical day.
Is there a chart at this presentation?
Oh, God, yes.
Thank you.
I had 21 charts for last night's presentation, but we ran out of time because the speakers before me, and they do a hard 10 p.m. cutoff. So you have a half an hour presentation, and you're given like 8.5 minutes. How do you do it? You talk either really fast or use a lot fewer charts.
Wow, it's like 9:53 at night in Schweikertson. Chart 11, you know what I mean? It's like, I love it.
Yeah, don't make fun of my charts.
I'm not. I love the charts.
But I find, you know, when you get up in front of an audience and sort of talk about what's the driver of U.S. debt, what's really going on, the public has been lied to so much by either Democrats and Republicans. You know, Democrats say, oh, it's military. Republicans, it's waste and fraud. And it's not. It's our demographics. And unless you're willing to step up and have brutally honest conversations about the cost of delivering health care, the cost of what happens when your society gets older, none of us are getting close to the real problem, and therefore you can't get to the real solution.
Do you post any of your chart images? I'm not even saying that to be a jerk.
Constantly. No, we do it up all the time.
On your Twitter page?
And we also put up the videos.
Okay.
Of the presentations.
All right. Well, David, thanks for the time today, as always. Say hi to Janet for us, and have a super day, buddy.
All right. Goodbye now.
There he is, Congressman David Schweikert. Sports intern coming up next. You're on the Wake Up Tucson show, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. We have economist Steve Moore, 7:07. Dr. Ed Ackerley will be here at 7:37 to talk about the event on Monday for the fight against the fight for 15. We have Shelley Kice in the third hour. And there's stuff to talk about today. That Ray, you remember we had a listener yesterday who called in who said that he has security video from a buddy that actually can hear the shots?
I remember.
In Pliskin Acres?
Yeah.
He sent that to us today. We're going to see if we can play it later, and actually you guys can listen to the shots blowing out at 9 o'clock in the morning in the Acres right near the mayor's house. So wake up to the real mayor, Alexander, not that other woman. That woman. Wake up, Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. All right, it's the City of Tucson Region playlist put up together by our wonderful listeners on my Facebook page. Yesterday, I said, hey, what's a song that kind of, you know, epitomizes the Tucson region for you? There's some positive ones in there, so you got to sprinkle them back and forth. I did one that I definitely want you to play on there. It's one I suggested, and it's a Whitney Houston tune.
I'll get to it.
So just keep an eyeball out for it. So let's go right to the phones. Ryan Larson, the best damn unpaid sports intern in America. What's up, buddy?
Not much, Chris. How are you doing?
How's it going in the land of the Utes?
Things are great up here. It's actually finally summer now. We finally hit the 90s or even 100 degrees. So it's almost comparable to Arizona for once.
I thought you were going to shove it in our face and go, dude, it's like 74 up here or something. So it's hot there too.
I like the 100 degrees. I've missed it after having to deal with snow for like 8 months straight. So
as my friend Marv Kirchler said on Facebook a couple of days ago, you don't deserve the 73 in January if you can't put up with the 111 in June. So that's
exactly
where you're at. So Ryan, let's start first and foremost. We're just going to rip the Band-Aid off. Let's talk about world soccer first and foremost. Let's talk about the Euros. Let's talk about Christian Eriksen. This is some amazingly kind of distressing stuff that happened on the field that I don't think I've ever seen before on a soccer field like this.
Yeah, that was a scary moment, basically near the start of the Euro Championship. It is Denmark's player. His name's Christian Eriksen. He collapsed mid-game around the 40th minute for Denmark in their first game of the Euros. And it was just a scary moment to capture on national TV. He had to be rushed to the hospital because he was non-responsive, is what the report said, is that basically he was gone. He was gone for a couple of minutes before he was able to be resuscitated. And now he's been stabilized. He's going to have a heart starter device implanted in him so that he will be, his heart hopefully won't have that issue happen again. But it's a scary moment in soccer, but one that brought about some nice moments from the players honoring him on the field. And now that he's doing okay, we have some nice tributes from players who, when they score goals, or before games, are taking moments to shout him out and to honor him and to just show that they're remembering him, because it's not something that you see a lot in sports, because, you know, the players are some of the healthiest people in the entire world. So to have someone just collapse on the field like that is a scary moment, but he seems to be doing well now and soccer is continuing onward, but with him in the thoughts and memories of the players now.
Well, think about this. The man pretty much expired on a soccer field and was resuscitated in front of 38,000 Danish and Finnish fans. That's pretty wild.
It's amazing that he's doing okay now, because that is not the best place to have a medical emergency in front of thousands and thousands of people and to have to be rushed to the hospital in those types of circumstances. But they made it through all right, and Denmark's going to continue playing now. They're going to keep competing for him, and hopefully that the team will be able to at least play a little better than they did in their first match and to compete to make it out of the group stage.
So Cristiano Ronaldo, one of the greatest soccer players in history, was at his press conference after his game with Portugal, and it's really interesting. There was two Coca-Cola bottles in front of his microphone, and then he moved it away off camera and then showed drink water, and it actually affected Coca-Cola's stock price.
Their shares bombed. Coca-Cola's shares bombed after this. Ronaldo is one of the most popular players in the entire world. He's either number one or number two, depending on how you feel about Messi. And Portugal is my bandwagon team for the Euros. I'm all in on the Portuguese. So I was happy to see them win. But Ronaldo he's not doing that because he necessarily dislikes Coca-Cola or anything. He's just, Ronaldo's a health nut. He's probably one of the healthiest human beings in the entire world. Takes care of his body, so he doesn't drink soda. He doesn't drink alcohol either, smoke or do anything like that. He's just really into doing everything possible to take care of his body. So when he saw the Coca-Cola bottles on the stand, he doesn't support drinking soda because obviously we know that's terrible for you, even though I personally drink soda almost every single day. And so he just moves the bottles off to the side and says, drink water. But the impact of that is Coca-Cola shares just bombing, taking a massive fall from that because Ronaldo is one of the most valuable athletes in the entire world. And so if he's not supporting your product, doesn't reflect well, and the Euros had to come out and basically do some damage control because Coca-Cola is one of their main partners.
Yep.
And when the most visible player in the tournament is saying drink water instead of soda, that's not great. Just a kind of a funny story, unless you, of course, are an investor in Coca-Cola, and then you probably didn't love it.
So Coca-Cola stock, the market value of Coca-Cola stock dropped $4 billion after...
Yep.
After Ronaldo snubbed the Coca-Cola. Let's talk about college baseball World Series. The Wildcats are in it. Give me a preview. When does it start? What's going on?
So the college baseball World Series starts this week now. And so with Arizona, what they did is they took care of Ole Miss in the Super Regionals. So just like the softball team, they're down to the Final Eight. And Arizona, unfortunately, I would say, has to play Vanderbilt in their first game. And Vanderbilt, they have two pitchers who are probably going to be top five picks in the MLB draft this year.
Yikes.
And so they're probably the favorite going into the World Series now. Arkansas was originally the number one seed going into the College World Series, but they ended up getting upset by NC State in the Super Regional. So now Arizona gets to play Vanderbilt. And Arizona can get it done. They hit really well against Ole Miss. It's just a matter of can they get to these pitchers for Vanderbilt. And it's double elimination again in the College World Series. It's the same type of bracket format as in the Women's College World Series. So they'll have a chance even if they lose their first game. We saw it in the Women's College World Series. Oklahoma lost their first game and still ended up winning the title. So if Arizona can steal one against Vanderbilt to start the series, they'll play the winner of Stanford and NC State in the second game. And Arizona can beat them. We've seen them beat Stanford in the regular season, and NC State wasn't even supposed to be here in the first place. So we'll see what Arizona can do. And I wouldn't say they're the favorites by any means. They were the sixth seed coming in, so they're definitely one of the better teams that are in the World Series now. But if they can steal one against Vanderbilt, anything's possible going forward.
So that game is 4 o'clock Mountain Time on Saturday, Arizona v. Vanderbilt. Now, let's talk about this. I'm only doing this for you and Bill number two because you guys actually care about golf. What golf tournament's going on this weekend?
It's the U.S. Open this week, Chris. This is something actually worth talking about. And it's at Torrey Pines. And so it's a classic golf course. No Tiger playing this week, unfortunately. They will be honoring him, and we'll see constant memories of the 2008 U.S. Open when he won with the winning putt on 18 against Rocco Media in the playoffs.
How far is Torrey Pines from where he crashed his car?
A couple hours.
Sorry. Keep going. Sorry.
I don't think they're going to have a plaque where he crashed his car, just at Torrey Pines. But we have a couple of interesting storylines going into this. It's for, in terms of betting, the player that has received the most bets of any golfer going into this is Phil Mickelson. Phil Mickelson has 50-1 odds to win at Torrey Pines, but people are putting more money on him than any other golfer. And maybe that's just sentimental reasons because people want to see him complete the career Grand Slam, finally get his U.S. Open win coming off of his win at the PGA, but he's getting more money on him than anyone. But the favorite going into this is probably John Rahm.
John Rahm, household name.
He is a household name if you actually watch golf. He's a Spaniard who played at Arizona State.
Okay.
And with Rahm, you're going to love this, Chris. The Memorial Tournament is a golf tournament put on by Jack Nicklaus in Ohio every
Absolutely.
Year. 2 weeks ago, Rahm was leading by 6 strokes going into the final round. And then the PGA came and told him that he tested positive for COVID right after he finished the third round and forced him to withdraw going into the fourth round after having a 6-stroke lead. He could have shot 4 over in his final round and won that tournament.
But if there's a place that you could not spread the Rona if you have it, it's got to be a golf course.
Yeah, I mean, you're spread out the entire time. And also, he immediately tested negative, like, a couple days later.
Of course he did.
And was cleared to play. And so the theory is that he's going to be angry and ready to go at Torrey Pines, and he's going to win his first major. If not, then people are just hoping for the continued rivalry between Brooks Koepka and Bryson DeChambeau to fire up, because they still just hate each other, and this is the closest thing to rivalry golf has had in a long, long time. And so there's a lot of fun storylines going into the U.S. Open, even if Tiger isn't playing. A lot to look forward to when that starts up today.
But for the average fan who only maybe watches majors, the real crux of the kind of the attraction of this is to see if the 52-year-old guy can win a U.S. Open. Is that kind of where we're down to, though, with golf?
Well, Phil's been the biggest name outside of Tiger in golf for 20 years now.
Sure.
There are other guys that are competing that more casual fans will know. Dustin Johnson is a big one. He's one of the betting favorites as well. He's in there. Rory McIlroy, Jordan Spieth, these guys who have been big names for a decade now are there. And then we have some new up-and-comers, and it's just a good time for golf. They don't even necessarily have to hope for Tiger's speedy return. I'm sure they'll want him back, but they're a good storyline for the more casual golf fans. It's a time of new players coming up on the scene on the PGA Tour, and it's always a time of turnover where the big names we're used to aren't as competitive, and we have these new guys coming in that we have to get used to their names, and it takes some time for them to become the household names that guys of the past have been.
Tell me about one of my favorite quarterbacks in the NFL, Aaron Rodgers. Where are we at? It sounds like he just wants out of Green Bay.
Yeah, we haven't seen much change on the Aaron Rodgers front, just because the reports coming out are that he still wants out from the Packers. Now, he didn't show up to mandatory mini camps, and he doesn't want to return anytime soon. That was to be expected, but it's expected now that the standoff between Rodgers and the Packers is likely going to last through training camp. That's where we're at now. It's a waiting game to see who backs down. It's either Rodgers is eventually going to back down and he's going to report either to training camp or to practices once the preseason starts up in the fall. And he's just going to come and he's going to say, well, I still want to play football and I'm going to play for the Packers if they're not going to trade me. Or the Packers are going to give in because Rodgers is just going to refuse to keep showing up. And they're going to have to trade him to someone. And the most likely team, the one that gets all the speculation, is the Broncos right now, because they desperately need a quarterback and they have the draft picks to be able to make that type of trade. But it could be, if another team jumps in, the Packers could potentially get wowed by an offer. It's funny right now with the Packers because all the reports that are coming out of the Packers camp are that Jordan Love is just looking so great in these mini camp practices. He looks like he's ready to play and could step in and be the starter for the Packers. And it's probably just a bunch of crap that the Packers are trying to make it seem like, you know, Jordan Love looks good so that Aaron Rodgers won't want to come back and prove that he's way better than Jordan Love. But that's what they're going to say, is that Jordan Love can be our guy even if Aaron Rodgers doesn't come back. But the standoff remains. I think Rodgers will eventually come back to the Packers. I just don't think that they're going to be willing to deal the guy who just won the MVP in the NFL. But if they do trade him, they're going to get a lot in return, and they better hope that Jordan Love is the guy.
My two favorite stories that I'd love to happen to piss off the world is Aaron Rodgers goes to the New England Patriots, number 1.
Oh, my gosh.
And then number 2, Tim Tebow is an effective starter for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Tim Tebow at tight end for the Jaguars. Oh, man. If he makes the team, that is going to be an absolute mess in Jacksonville. Talking about setting up Trevor Lawrence for failure in his first year as a rookie, we're just going to bring in the media circus that is the Tim Tebow circus. That's not a great play for the Jaguars.
It's a genius move, and I'm going to tell you why. It takes all the attention off of Trevor Lawrence. Everything's going to be Tebow, and he's just going to do his thing. Telling you, it's a genius move.
I can't wait for Trevor Lawrence to have one bad game, and then it's like, should the Jaguars consider starting Tim Tebow at quarterback instead of tight end?
I always love torturing the Bronco fans in my life, right? Because they all have
like me.
That's right. You guys hate Tebow, right? And it was, and I love the fact that he actually had a pretty good record for you guys, beat the Steelers in a playoff game. And you guys still hate him.
The difference between having a good win loss record and playing well. Back through Tim Tebow's NFL reference and look at those games.
Right.
That he played for the Broncos. Do you like 2 of 8 performances for 40 yards?
Hold on, my friend. It's all about scoreboard, right? Wins and W's and L's. That's all I'm telling you. So
I like to think that most quarterbacks would have won a lot of games with that Broncos defense. If Tebow can go 2 of 8 in a game and win that one, I think pretty much any quarterback you play could win that game.
You guys are horrendous. He went 7-4. As the starter for the Broncos, just telling you, we'll see.
He was fine. Did you see that he averaged 170 yards per game passing?
He didn't make any
of those games.
Didn't make mistakes, buddy. That's what we wanted. No mistakes. All right, Brian. Great talking to you as always, sir.
Thanks, Chris. Good to talk to you too.
Have a super day, sir.
You too.
All right, we got a quick segment coming back. Economist Steve Moore, then Ed Ackerley will be here to talk about the fight against the fight for 15. Shelly Kice, I just sent Ray this
John
clip,
Stewart.
John Stewart clip, where he shows up on Colbert, starts talking about how the Wuhan virus must have started in a lab in Wuhan, and you could look at Colbert is so uncomfortable that his boy is saying this on the air, and he can't stop him. It's the best. Wake up, Tucson, 10:30 of the voice. All right, this is the from our Tucson region playlist that the listeners suggested on Facebook yesterday. Of course, the Ennio Morricone, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Hey! Steve Moore coming up in about 13 minutes or so. So our good friend Doug Martin, we're going to play John Stewart next hour. I don't think we have enough time. So our good friend Doug Martin, he's a masochist on Facebook. Just an absolute, I love him, a freaking masochist.
He likes walking into the fire.
Oh, loves it. So he talks about that idiot Stellar is criticizing Doug Ducey about this whole thing with, no one really cares what Tim thinks, but Ducey forbidding vaccine passports, testing, blah, blah, right? I'm sure he's just the devil that's going to kill everybody, right? Tim, it's not 6 months ago, please. Now, the science is involved, as we like to say. But what I love is Tim's other foolish fellow that likes to opine out there is this foolish fellow named Dylan Smith from the Tucson something, right? The online newspaper scam, okay? And he's like, hey, Doug. And I've heard this, I've seen this from other people, right? They're like, hey, bro, you know, these schools already are mandating vaccines to go to college, man. Why not add this, bro? Right? I heard it. The pontificating on this is freaking magical. It's just the same thing as the other stuff, man. Right? So here's the difference, Jack Wads. Okay, so I went on to the University of Arizona admissions site and went to the FAQs about vaccines. And the question is, what are the mandated vaccine records you need to have to enroll in the University of Arizona? There's only one vaccine. It's the old MMR, right? Measles, mumps, and rubella. Okay? Here's the difference, Timmy Boy and Dylan and all these people that waste time on air and radio shows out there. Guess when the MMR vaccine was developed? Yes, a year after I was born. 1971, jackasses. Okay? When was the COVID vaccine evolved? Oh, I don't know. Thanksgiving. So when you sit there, and we've already had 6,000 more deaths from vaccines than we've had since 1990 this year. So when they sit there and go, hey, bro, it's the same thing. No, it's not. You have a vaccine that the U of A requires that's been in use and retested and whatever since 1971 and has unequivocated approval from the idiots in the government, where this is still on an emergency one and was done during the Christmas season. So, as the great Flo from Alice said, kiss my grits. Let's go to holidays. It's National Career Nursing Assistance Day. It's Global Garbage Man Day. Thank you. Without them, this place would look even worse. Now, today is National Recess at Work Day, but for most of you, you've had that for 15 months. If you worked at the city of Tucson, you've probably done that exactly for 15 months, and you're still doing it. World Croc Day, not the shoe, the animal. And then it's, oh, this is perfect, World Day to Combat Desertification and Drought. Perfect for us. Great week for that. And then more importantly on food, it's National Apple Strudel Day. So what I need, I know where I can get the best apple strudel within 7 hours from here. It's in Rocky Point, Mexico. There's a place called Cafe House on the way to the seaport. And it's like, I believe we have a German gentleman marries the Mexican young lady, and they open up a European coffee house breakfast place in Rocky Point. It's really good. They make fresh apple strudel every day. I'm telling you, it's part of the ritual for the DeSimones when we go down there. Big long walk on the beach, walk over to there, and get a strudel and a coffee at about 9 o'clock in the morning. It's amazing. So if anyone has any apple strudel suggestions in Tucson, love to hear it from you kids. So, all right, when we come back, economist Steve Moore. Wake up, Tucson.